What's going on, Fantasy World? I'm Ed.
I'm Mike.
Hey.
Man, that intro gets me going every time, man.
We're here talking some fantasy football. Man, things are getting hot.
Hot and heavy.
That's right.
We're on week 10 now? Man.
And by this point, you have a pretty darn good idea of how your fantasy is going, whether whether it's going your way or not. We have a couple beers.
We need to crack these, dude. Oh, yeah. It's only a 7%er for you.
Yeah. Mike brought us back. What is this, Mike? A Goose Island Neon Beer Hug.
I figured you needed a beer hug. You know, just wrap your lips around this can.
How is it?
I've never had it before. Need a beer hug. It definitely tastes like it's 7%.
Oh, that's tasty.
Yeah.
Ooh, wait, dude, that little
the after kick isn't bad.
Oh my gosh, that after kick is so good.
Yeah, the after kick isn't bad.
Oh wow. Mm.
So
that's good.
Week 10, we have a few teams on bye. We have the Chiefs, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Eagles.
A lot of high-powered offenses there. I like it. You know what? I didn't invest in a lot of those.
Yeah. Well.
Which is good. But also bad because I don't have the high-powered offenses. But, well.
Well, we have a lot of really good offenses that are coming back from a bye. The 49ers, the Lions. Well,
they've been kind of pedestrian the past 3 weeks with three straight losses. Mm-hmm. But maybe they get Debo back. There's a lot of movement coming off of IR with Justin Fields, with Khalil Herbert, that pairing coming off of IR. You got James Conner coming back soon. Good Lord, man. You got a lot.
Kyler and then we've Murray.
Also Kyler Murray. You got people going to IR. You got there's a lot of Justin Jefferson's windows coming up probably in a week.
Yeah. Kyron Williams, Kyron Achan. Those are two players coming up off of IR. So a lot of things to take note of. And unfortunately, the window is shrinking for you to make the playoffs. So we're in week 10. And chances are your playoffs are going to run in either week 16 and 17, depending on the type of league that you're in.
Or 15, 16, 17.
Correct.
That's a lot of where I'm at. So
realistically, you have 5 games left. And if you're a few games behind a playoff spot right now, you basically almost have to win out, right? Because we talked about this before. There's a very good likelihood, unless everything goes your way, there's a very good likelihood that playoff spot position, they're not going to lose the next 5 games.
But the good thing is, if you can look ahead on your schedules and see who you're playing, if you're playing a team that's ahead of you, like one spot ahead of you, you need to win that week.
Absolutely.
Because then that's a whole game swing. Tied right now, they go one game below you, a whole one game with additional points that you're going to score more than them. And most likely someone else is going to win, which might propel you a little bit more forward, especially if you have more points. Like I do in one of my leagues, I just moved into fourth. And I have the second most points. I've been in like 6th, 7th with the first and second most points all season. Finally in the top 4. I just had unlucky going against people that are juggernaut out, like scoring, and they're like some of the lowest scorers in the entire season. So unlucky stuff, but now everything's starting to unwrap, starting to kind of get your norm now. In my opinion, like you said last episode, the first 4 or 5 weeks, getting the hang of things. The next 4 or 5 weeks, starting to create some stuff. Now is the time when you're going to see those teams start to really propel themselves away from the pack. Like the Bengals. You're starting to see that with the Bengals. They're starting that. They always start slow, it seems like.
Yeah.
And they did it the same way this year. They just beat the Niners. They just beat the Bills. Like now they're showing their defense is coming together. Their offense is starting to click, unless you had Chase like I did. And now Chase had a down week. But I don't foresee that happening every week. It was just the game plan. It was what the Bills did. They took what they gave them. And, I mean, Chase still got you like 8, 9 points.
Well,
10 points.
You got to look at the overall scheme of how teams are shifting, because there are shifts that are happening right now. There are teams that are running the ball a little more. There's teams that are creating gaps, and the O-line is really coming together. There's trends that are happening right now. And those trends really are indicative of how fantasy producers will perform week in and week out. If an offense is moving forward and they're booming like the Ravens right now, right? The Ravens are a team that they're also coming onto the scene.
Yeah, they are.
Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, you have
Zay Flowers.
Zay Flowers back there, really probably their wide receiver one.
He had like 2 points this past week for me. It was bad.
But who else do you, I mean, you know, so there are teams right now that they're really just kicking it up a notch. And take note of how, first of all, take note of how these games are being played. What are the trends? Are they scoring low points? Are they scoring a ton of points? You know, what are they doing when they're playing? And these trends will kind of tell you which players to gravitate towards on a week-to-week basis. Now, another thing that's a reality is, you know, there is such a thing as second half teams like the Ravens or the Bengals. When you look at potential trades, those are the players you want to target.
Yeah.
The players you feel like they're just going to have a really good second half of the season. And that's when championship teams are formed right now. And I know in our league, the trade deadline is November 18th, which means you only have one more Sunday to get your last look in before that trade deadline is upon you. So after this next Sunday, you're not going to get another chance to take a look at some players. So you have to make decisions right now. I know Mike's working a trade as we speak. So
no, someone's asking for advice. So,
but
they want to know who's better, Henry or Jacobs.
asking for a friend.
That's fine. So, but yeah.
So as I mentioned, you know, if you're on the outside looking in, don't be afraid to make moves, because what do you have to lose? I mean, realistically, if you continue the trend that you're on right now, what's going to happen? I mean, you might win a couple more games, but you're going to have to get aggressive. And, you know, at this point, you can't worry about keep away. You have to worry about making your team better.
You got to be selfish right now.
Yeah.
You have to be. And here's another piece of advice is look at the offenses that are changing or leaning more towards one way or the other because of a new tool in their little tool bag, such as the Vikings with Josh Dobbs.
Oh, Josh Dobbs.
You've been touting him quite a bit this year, Mr. Ed. And I would just want to say, if you are set, if you're ready for the playoffs and you can find a way to gravitate and get Mr. Hockenson, Josh Dobbs loves his tight ends.
Yeah. Well,
Hockenson is great pass catcher, great blocker. He's always on the field, goes up that seam. Maybe he's going to get injured. If you can get him somehow buying low this week for someone who needs to win and miraculously he's injured and not going to play, stash him, put him on the bench, you know, take that. Those are the little wins you need right now.
Everyone around Josh Dobbs the production is not going to go down from where you expected it to be.
He doesn't have that big of an arm, though, right?
He's very accurate.
He's accurate, he's but very not accurate. Long.
He did get a pretty deep pass this past game. That's not what he's known for, though. I mean, surprisingly, Josh Dobbs is more of a pocket passer, but this past week, he rushed for like 66 yards against the Falcons, and that was the most any quarterback has ran against the Falcons this year. And it just goes to show you, man, he is about grit. Fun fact, he's actually, and I don't know if you know this or not, but he's an aerospace engineer. So Josh Dobbs is literally a rocket scientist. He has a 4.0. I mean, the guy is brilliant. They asked him how comfortable he felt with the playbook in less than a week. And he said, well, if we stick to this core, I got it. I mean, and he said that in an interview just confidently. Yeah. I mean, the guy, he could be the next Fitzmagic of the league. I mean, the guy that just bounces from team to team as the QB2 and will always have a spot as the backup. I don't know if I see Josh Dobbs taking over a team. But it could happen. I mean, look what happened with Geno Smith.
Yeah.
You know, he played all those years, and now he's getting his shot. I could see that with Josh Dobbs. He's that good. So I guess with that to say, the value for an Addison or a Hockenson or a Madison isn't going to go down dramatically. I mean, I wouldn't just sell because it's Josh Dobbs. But moving forward, taking a look at some of the teams that do have some movement, Dallas Goedert's out.
Yeah.
So what is that going to do to the Eagles offense, right? I don't know if I tend to have a feeling that Devontae Smith is probably going to be the benefactor of some of those target shares. There are...
the thing with Devonta Smith is he's really the field stretcher.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Goddard really doesn't do that too much. I mean, I feel like A.J. Brown, nothing's going to change with him, really. I do think there's going to be more passes out of the backfield for Swift. I think that whoever replaces Goddard is really a one-trick pony. They're really probably going to only be blocking. They're not going to like release him onto a lot of routes, a lot of screen passes, yeah. The Dallas Goedert specials. I think Swift is actually has a tick up here.
Well, look at this. So since Goddard is out, you might see some of those target shares go to a Swift or a Smith. But Devontae Smith, in 7 games that Dallas Goedert was out, he's had 30 catches, 492 yards, and 2 touchdowns in 7 games. And that's about 70 yards a game, about 4 receptions. He only has 2 touchdowns, but there was a couple games last year when Devontae Smith broke out, and it was when Dallas Goedert was out. If you look at the remaining schedule for Devontae Smith, it looks really good. So might be a player to target right now. Keep an eye on that. But another dynamic to consider is, where is a team in the playoff hunt? Because I know it's early. I know it's only week 10, but we are more than halfway through the season. And this is when teams start to feel maybe a little bit of pressure. Teams like the Bills. I mean, if the season ended right now, the Bills would not be in the playoffs.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy?
I kind of like it because Josh Allen's not going to win anything in his life right now.
Well,
He's like Justin Herbert. He's good until he's just not.
And I don't know what's wrong with that offense.
If you take away Diggs, they don't have anything.
No, they don't. They've always struggled with a strong running game.
Yeah.
Outside of Josh Allen, they have no running game.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of I think the most effective or efficient running back was Singletary. And he was not efficient.
I mean,
but to say that, you know, I mean, just to say that was their...
No, they had LeSean McCoy back, like, what, 6 years ago or something?
Yeah they
at
did.
At the end, kind of like later in his career.
And he was... LeSean McCoy was subpar at best.
He was lazy Sean McCoy, what?
Yeah. I mean, he was subpar at best. So, like, you know, when... I don't know. I mean, the Bills need to do something, right? And didn't they sign Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, they did.
So, who knows? I mean, they've obviously identified that as a problem. I don't know if Leonard Fournette... Now, Leonard Fournette typically comes on in later portions of the year, specifically in towards a playoff. When you remember with the Tom Brady run, Leonard Fournette, you know, you just hand the ball off to him, he'd give you a touchdown. So, it might work for them, but you have every single team in the AFC North right now that would make the playoffs if the season ended today, which is also crazy to think about. So, you know, just some things to keep an eye on. The Cowboys, they would make the playoffs.
I'm telling you right now, hitch your wagon to the Cowboys. Since the bye, they've looked super strong.
They have. That last game against the Eagles...
It's the Eagles.
I understand that. I understand that completely.
The Cowboys could have walked away with a win there.
They should have walked away with a win. And it came down to Dak Prescott. And I hate to say it, Dak is playing out of his mind right now. And I get it, okay? I understand that. But when you give up 2 penalties in the remaining seconds of the game, I mean, you're killing yourself. It's situational that all comes back to Dak. And when you hear him in the press conference, he just chalked it up to, you know, we have a lot to learn from. We're going to get better, which I understand that. But
that's generic.
It is generic. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I would have just wanted a little more ownership of.
The bad thing is, like, we're not getting a lot of ownership nowadays.
Yeah.
Of crappy play.
No.
However, I'll put this out there. I loved that DeForest Buckner of my Colts called out the defense saying, guys, playing like crap.
Yeah.
And they showed up and balled out. Old Kenny Moore with two pick sixes with his sisters and mother watching in the stands. Oh, my gosh, dude. That was a game and a half for him. Well, Colts won that one. But, I mean, you got to own this.
You got to own it,
call it out. You got to own it. You got to go.
I mean, those two flags that Dak Prescott received, or the Cowboys offense received, they were flags for delays of games.
Yeah, you can't have that.
You can't. I mean, that comes back to the quarterback every single time. And he's so that Prescott has recorded his second straight multi-touchdown game in that loss against the Eagles. 374 yards, 66% completion rate. Yeah. And in the last three games, he's thrown eight touchdowns to one interceptions. The five games prior to that, he's thrown five touchdowns to four interceptions, just 6 yards per attempt, as opposed to the last three games at 9 yards per attempt. So that is a trend you have to keep an eye on, right? Yeah. Are the Cowboys now coming onto the scene, right?
They're utilizing their weapons in a much better fashion. That's how they were supposed to be utilized in the beginning.
Yeah.
You're getting Ferguson actually getting some flats and some flashes of, you know, quick middle cuts and passes up the middle and the seam. And you're getting CeeDee Lamb actually extending and Cooks where he needs to be, Gallup a little bit here and there. And then Pollard needs to come on. You're not going to get where they're not going to get where they want to get without a solid running game.
Pollard is not producing anywhere near where you drafted him.
He will, though.
Well, he might.
I think coming up, he will. And I think, in my opinion, let me get there real quick.
Well, it's not like anyone has him on their particular team, just out of, generic terms.
So I think you're going to get this when you're facing the Giants, then Carolina, and then Washington, and then Seattle. They're going to get that running game going. And I think it's going to get going, in my opinion. And I think Dak's going to continue to cook because CeeDee Lamb wants his.
Well, when you think of that
defense is solid.
Yeah, it's solid. But when you think of it is really solid. But when you think of the Cowboys' running back situation, it's always been that double-headed monster.
They don't have it this year.
No, they don't. They have Rico Dowdle, and then they have Baby Shark, which...
Yeah, Rico Suave and Baby Shark Dudut.
Yeah, so now Dowdle is their RB2, and he does a pretty decent job of relieving Dak when he's in a tough situation, catching a pass. But they don't have that strong 1-2 punch like they used to, and is that kind of showing signs? I don't think it is. I think... It's a culmination of things, but just keep an eye on how the Cowboys continue to shape up here in the remaining schedule of the year. So this week they play the Giants.
The Cowboys are favored by 16.
That's what it was, 16. Yeah.
Jeez, dude. Yeah. 16 against the Giants.
I mean,
it is the Giants.
Yeah,
they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a backup quarterback. They don't have a tight end. They really don't have any wide receiver ones or twos on their team. They have Saquon Barkley behind a junk offensive line. That's all they have.
Listen to their remaining games coming up. They Who's have, they? Well, the Cowboys.
Okay, the Cowboys. Okay.
Yeah. So they have the Giants this week.
Let's go.
They have the Panthers next week.
That's right.
Which... Well, the Panthers are doing great. And then they have the Commanders
They're doing great. They got one win.
They have the Commanders the week after.
And then the Commanders. Can I step you there? Sam Howell's looking good, but they need to get that running game going if they're going to, because they're not going to outpace anybody with the defense that they have. They gave away their defense to the Niners and to the Bears. So they're not going to stop anyone. You have to slow down and control the ball. and then mix in passing. They're going pass first, and that's not who Washington is.
Yeah.
That's just their identity is screwed up right now.
I feel like that switch happened not long ago because they were run first.
Yeah, but at the beginning of the season, they were. But like after two games, is it Riverboat Ron over there still?
Yeah.
He went to the pass
yeah.
real quick. And then they kind of mix. They weren't sure what they were doing. They weren't sure if it was a he, she, him, her. But then they moved on to, oh, we want to do some passing. Okay. But your defense isn't stopping anyone. So you have to control the ball. You know?
Yeah. Well, and they're in a pretty tough division. You know, I mean, when you look at the Commanders, their only way out is possibly a wild card because they're not beating the Eagles. They're not beating the Cowboys. They're barely beating the Giants, who are a 2-win team right now. So the only path for the Commanders is that wild card for the foreseeable future. Oh,
yeah. And if they get there, what are they planning on doing with it?
Right.
They're not going to do and nothing.
The question
they're
is,
not going to do anything.
The double question line, is Sam Howell the future? I think a team
he
like
can
the,
be. I think for
a
sure.
team like the Commanders, they're not good enough to compete in the playoffs, but they're not bad enough to get a high draft pick.
Their offense is fine. Let's be honest. Their offense is fine. It's the defense, and they just gave away their two best defensive players.
They're 4-5 right now. They're gonna end up with pick 16. Get no one impressive in this next NFL draft.
And it's not like they are really great drafters.
They just traded their best player in Chase Young.
Yeah.
To the 49ers. What are they doing? I mean, they're just gonna be a mediocre team. So anyway,
their offense hasn't changed, but their defense sucks even more.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. Like their offense has never really been the issue. It's been the defense.
Yeah.
And you didn't help out anything by giving away the two best players you've got.
Yeah. So,
oh, man.
Let's talk about some other trends that you could start taking a note of. And particular, it's snap count. I want someone that's out on the field as much as possible. And in those,
especially from a tight end standpoint,
correct.
And wide receiver, but that tight end, it's so inconsistent. If the tight end is on the field, they could accidentally catch a couple passes.
Right.
So yeah, go ahead, Ned.
So from a tight end perspective, snap count, number one, Cade Otton. Okay. Which, you know, the Bucs really do a nice job of utilizing him in the past few weeks. Number two, Tyler Higbee at 92% average. By the way, Cade, he was on the field 100% of every single snap last week.
The best ability is?
Availability.
Availability, yes, sir.
Tyler Higbee at number two at 91%. Dallas Goedert, number three, 77%. Dallas Goedert, number three at 89%.
He gone.
Tyler Higbee, number two at 92% average for the year. George Kittle at number four at 88%.
That dude blocks. That's why he's on the field. Yeah, and then,
correct.
And then he catches passes and Cole he's good
Kmet
at football.
At number five at 84%. And then TJ Hockenson at number six, 83%. Sam Laporta, seven at 82%. So those are some of the tight ends that are leading that that group in overall snap count. And then on the wide receiver standpoint, you still have Michael Pittman at the top. Michael Pittman was at the top earlier in the year. He's still at the top now. You have Devontae Smith at number two, 97%. And then Cooper Kupp since week five at 96%. And then Alec Pierce at 94%. So you have two Colts that are on the field every single play. Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown, Adam Thielen, Marquise Brown, Justin Jefferson, D.J. Moore. And then you have people that will surprise you, like a Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton's on the field 87% of the time, more than Stephon Diggs on average. Stephon Diggs is on the field 86% of the time.
And Sutton, to be fair, is having a quiet, good season.
Sutton is actually having a really good season. Yeah. I just looked up his numbers.
If you need someone consistent on your team that you can buy somewhat low on,
why not?
Go offer some couple scrubs for Sutton.
Absolutely.
And let me be honest, Russell Wilson's actually having a much better season than he did last season.
He is.
And
by the way, he's not getting credit for that. Which,
no, he's not.
You know, it is what it is. I'm not going to be the one lobbying.
It's because it's not, but it hasn't been sexy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He's just been doing the regular.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you that Courtland Sutton is having a really good year so far. And when you look at his average, I mean, he's averaging about 10 points a game. You know, it's nothing out of this world, but
I mean, if you can get him for a wide receiver as your wide receiver three,
I'm going to read you the last few weeks, half PPR, week 8, 9.9, 7 is 16.6, then 12.6. Week 5 was his low week of the season. This was his lowest week. It was 1.8, okay? Yeah.
But how many?
But then before catches? That, but then before that, 10, 15, 9 and 11.
How many catches is he averaging?
So he's averaging anywhere from he's averaging about 7 or 8 targets a game.
Yeah.
And he's catching almost all of them.
Yeah. So in a full PPR, he's actually a lot more valuable. So if you're getting 5, 6 catches a week, that's 5, 6 points off the block.
Absolutely.
And then you're getting probably 50, 60 yards. You're getting a floor of 10.
Well, he's averaging about 60 yards a game, I would say.
So if you can get a floor of 10 points that, as a wide receiver three,
and oh,
I'd
by the way,
be all for that.
He scored a touchdown in every single game this year except for 2.
No kidding.
What's
his playoff schedule look like, Ed?
Very good.
Exactly.
So those are some things to look out for. Courtland Sutton is on my bench for a reason. I have not moved him. I'm not going to move him because no one sees the value in a Courtland Sutton. I do. And I am more than okay keeping him until that chance comes. Yeah. And when that chance comes, there you are. So
I'm not going to trade for him in that league, but I've got some pretty solid wide receivers.
You do.
So I'll play with what I got. Yeah. So
and I have solid running backs, and with people like Courtland Sutton, I will manage. But anyway,
you know what we should do real quick, Ed? We should take a minute and go to the Dad's Talk Fantasy Podcast League, the team that we got together, and just update the listeners on that, buddy. So as it stands, we started off very strong. We were in first place probably through the first 7 weeks. We did have a couple losses. We're still in third. We're still third in points. So we're right where we need to be. And in all reality, it took a turn for us when we had a couple bad weeks with Nacua.
Why don't you read the team just so the listeners can...
So our normal starting lineup is Jalen Hurts, but this week... We've got Mr. Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. And then we've got our wide receivers, Calvin Ridley, George Pickens. And on bye this week, we've got Tyreek, Speedster Hill, and Puka Nacua is on the bye. And then our running backs are Bijan Robinson, Alvin Kamara, Javonte Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, Alexander Mattison, and Jerome Ford. Yep. So, I mean, that's a pretty solid squad, buddy. And then tight end, we did end up picking up Cole Kmet and playing him last week.
Oh, good.
Who did well. We did pick up a good win last week. So, it looks promising. This week, we're slated to win by about 24, but the guy never really has set up his lineup yet. Waddle's on his bye, along with Dallas Goedert is out. So, it looks like he'll probably end up putting in Christian McCaffrey, likely, along with maybe a Josh Downs.
Yeah, very possibly. You know,
maybe he'll sit him. He needs a rest, Ed.
Yeah.
But even so, we're probably slated to win by like 3.
Okay.
So we'll see what comes up of that.
Well, Thursday night football, we have the Panthers at the Bears. Well, the Bears are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 39.
I've got 4. Where are we looking at here?
DraftKings.
Okay. Did it literally just change?
It might have just changed again. Jeez, so dude. The over-under is at 39. Justin Fields logged limited practices on Monday and Tuesday.
Sure.
Too. I think the Bears can't stand another week of Bajent, which, you know what?
No, Bajent was doing great, dude.
He had a run.
Got charisma.
I know he does.
I like Bajent a lot.
He had a nice run. Well, we might not ever hear from him again unless Justin Fields gets hurt, but I'm going to take the Bears in this minus the 3.5. I think.
Are we doing 4 or 3.5?
Or, I'm sorry, 4.
Okay. I was going to go Panthers plus 4. But then I remembered Montez Sweat just went to the Bears from the Commanders. He's going to be a huge value add there. So I do believe that the Bears defense is actually going to step up and stop the Panthers a little bit more than they would have without Montez Sweat. So I am also going Bears minus 4.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, in this game, you're obviously, if you have to play Fields, you're playing Fields.
Yeah.
If Khalil Herbert comes back, maybe.
Let me ask you this,
step
Mike.
In there a little bit.
Hypothetically. Okay. Let's just say a team has CJ Stroud, mm-hmm. Justin Fields, and Kyler Murray. Hypothetically.
If that would happen, I would probably feel. I think.
So Justin Kyler Fields, Murray against the Falcons. Fields against the Panthers, and then C.J. Stroud against the Bengals, at the Bengals.
Well, knowing that the spread with the Bengals game is 6.5 favoring the Bengals, I mean, if you're wanting a shootout, your best bet is C.J. Stroud. But the Bengals defense has been stepping up. I like the floor that Justin Fields has, but solely because he's coming off that injury, I would go with CJ Stroud.
I got to go with CJ
Stroud. You have to.
Him and his little, have you seen the dance?
No.
I knew you wouldn't. You have to watch it. It's pretty entertaining. He has a little dance. You know, like.
He has a little dance.
Yeah. He has a little dance, like Jefferson's Gritty, right?
Okay.
It's not the Gritty. It's like a 1-2 step kind of deal.
Okay. I could do a 1-2 step.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do a Gritty, but. Should I try to do a gritty?
You can totally do a gritty.
I'm going to do a gritty right now. Ready? I'm going to do a gritty.
Yeah, bust one out.
All right, let's see. Ready?
Yeah. All right, let's see how he does. Oh.
I don't even know. Hold on. I might need to watch a video of that.
Oh, dude, that is the widest gritty I have ever.
Whitest. Jeez.
That means you have no rhythm.
There was no music. There was no nothing.
He's just bouncing around like a little bunny rabbit doing the gritty.
I was putting my glasses on, putting them in my pocket.
Yes, I'm going to take the Bears, as are you.
Yeah.
What's
DJ Moore? You starting him?
Yeah. I think I would start DJ Moore. Depends on what your options are.
Cole Kmet?
Again, it depends. You know, I would start a Cole Kmet over most tight ends this week.
Yeah.
Over most.
Agreed.
Except for, you know, your obvious ones. I would start Schultz over Kmet, personally.
Schultz over Kmet, hey?
I would. Schultz is.
Against the Bengals, huh?
Schultz, yes. The Bengals rank worst in the league against opposing tight end.
I did highly tout you Schultz did. At the beginning of the year, and he's starting to come on.
So the last few weeks with Schultz, obviously this past week against the Buccaneers, I think he was like the tight end one with 22 points, fantasy points. That was week 9. Week 8, Carolina, down week, 1.5. I get it. It disappointed me.
They're actually not bad against tight ends, to be quite honest.
Carolina has the third best team against opposing tight ends. Then in week 7, he had a bye. But then in week 6, 14. Week 5 against the Falcons, 16. And then week 4 against the Steelers, 11. For
Let's
a tight
go,
end.
Oh, Schultz, baby.
For a tight end, that's as good as you can get.
Let's go. I like Schultz.
Yeah. I like Schultz. So I would play a Schultz over a Kmet, but I would play a Kmet over a lot of tight ends. So
Cole Kmet or Kyle Pitts.
Cole Kmet.
Yeah?
Yes. Kyle Pitts is, you know, he's never going to get you more than the 5-7 fantasy points.
Oh.
He's been consistently getting 5-7.
He's going against the Cardinals.
Jonnu Smith.
That's like the high school team around
Jonnu here. Jonnu Smith has proven to be the tight end pass catcher out of Atlanta.
You know what is completely bass ass.
Even
here,
with
right?
London hurt, Kyle Pitts did not see the target share I would hope for him to see.
So they're completely backwards in their tight end usage and their running back usage.
I know.
Like Tyler Allgeier, great last year. But he's not Bijan Robinson.
What is going on? I mean, seriously, what is going on?
Breaks my heart.
Atlanta?
I almost chose Bijan.
They should not
second overall.
They should not deserve good players from now. This is why you can't have nice things.
This is why we can't have nice things.
You just run them into the ground. You know what? It's the brand.
No, they're not running him into the ground. That's the problem. I don't even know what to call it. They're putting him in the back pocket.
It's an atrocious mess, man.
And not allowing him to do
anything. Kyle Pitts was a freak of nature coming out of the
end. So is Bijan.
And look what's happening. I mean, at least release them into the wild.
Something.
That's the least you can do. You know?
Can you imagine Bijan on, like, the Bills?
Oh, my God. Forget about it.
Can you imagine Pitts on
any team?
On the opposite end of the Chiefs? With Kelsey? Oh, come on.
That'd be great.
Dude, Mahomes would utilize the crap out of him.
Now, the Chiefs do have a couple really solid tight ends outside of Kelsey that I feel
Neil
like
Gray.
They're starting to make their mark. But anyway.
Yeah, we digress.
Colts at Patriots.
Colts at Patriots in Germany. Early game there in Germany. Colts are favored by 1.5. I'm taking Colts here. I think they're on a war path. That defense looks solid, and I think they're just going to continue to utilize more and more of Jonathan Taylor, and I think it's going to be a good Michael Pittman game as well. So I'm going Colts, my boys, over the Patriots.
This one's tough for me because I feel like the Colts should win this game. They very well should. The spread is what's throwing me off at only 1.5. I mean,
it's in a neutral site.
Yeah.
They're saying we are 1.5 better than the Pats. And
it's basically almost a wash. I mean, this is almost a pick'em game. The way it's laid out right now, you know, the Colts are getting a slight favorite, but it's almost a toss up. I mean, an overseas game at 9:30, it throws the complete schedules out of whack, out of rhythm. Okay. And one thing is for certain, Bill Belichick does not like things falling out of whack. I see the Patriots as having maybe an advantage from a structure standpoint and the way they run their operations. And I'm not saying I'm an insider. I'm just saying from the outside looking in, it seems like the Patriots in an overseas game like that might excel on the surface. But I think the Colts are a better team and they should win this game. So I'm going to take the Colts.
Good man. So then next we've got the Texans at the Bengals. Bengals are favored by 6.5 points. Ed, can you believe in the Texans and CJ Stroud?
Oh baby, I am buying the shirt. I am all on this hype train, dude. I love this guy.
So you think the Texans are going to keep it close?
Well, I'm saying in general. I just want to tout the Texans real
quick.
Tout
the Texans, tout CJ Stroud.
Tout Tank Dell. I'm going to tout Nico Collins.
Let's do it.
I mean,
Dalton Schultz.
I mean, dude, this all, you know. The
defense isn't slouching either.
They're really not. And the most disappointing part about this team is Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
You know,
man.
I mean, Damian Pierce
now,
really
Singletary's
came onto
doing
the scene.
Some, trying to do stuff.
Exactly.
Like, what is going on?
And you're just having less and less confidence right now. I'm not starting, if I can help it, I'm not starting Damian Pierce until I can see something.
No, I'm not starting Damian Pierce.
Because of the Singletary situation.
I had zero shares of him. I had zero faith in him in the beginning anyway. So
this is a time for you to either, like for example, I'm just going to come out and say it. That team that I had mentioned about CJ Stroud, that was my team.
Oh,
and
what?
Yeah, I know.
Shock.
I know.
The shock.
I don't need three, shock. I don't need three quarterbacks, okay? I just want to make that known.
I got three on my team too, dude.
Here's the thing. Kyler Murray was free. No one picked him up. I picked Kyler Murray up the week before he came off of IR, and I didn't even clog a bench spot. Yeah. He went straight to my IR. So I literally, it literally costed me nothing. But I'm going to probably trade a Kyler Murray or a Justin Fields for something. I'm not going to drop him. I want to get something in return.
Might not be a lot, but it'd be enough.
Yeah, it'd be enough, right?
Pair him with a running back or a wide receiver and see if you can get a little bit of an upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway,
Texans at Bengals, -6.5 Bengals.
Man, this is
how much of that hype train are you gonna ride, dude? How much of the juice are you gonna squeeze?
You know what? Give me the Texans, baby. Let's go, CJ Stroud.
All right. I'm taking the Bengals, dude. I can't. Not the way they're playing right now. I can't
go
away from
them. Let's go, CJ.
All right. So then we got the Browns at the Ravens up in your neck of the woods with the AFC North.
Yeah, so here's the deal. The Ravens won week 4, 28-3. Okay. Now, Watson was not playing.
Yeah. Does that matter? I mean, I'm not a huge Watson believer, but...
Amari Cooper seems like Watson.
No. He likes it when it gets tipped up accidentally and it lands in his hands. That should not have been a touchdown completion, but it happened.
The whole offense is going to get a bump. I mean, it is reality. I mean,
Browns defense is playing well, but they've actually played less well over the past couple weeks.
They shut out the Cardinals to zero. I mean, I said 0 points last week.
It's the Cardinals.
I know it's the Cardinals.
Who was their quarterback?
Well, I don't even know what
Clayton
his name
Tune.
Is. Yeah, Clayton Tune.
I think you were touting him in a little bit in the beginning of the year.
I was
dude.
Touting him a little bit.
And then Dobbs came in and you touted
fine.
Dobbs. He did look fine and appear fine. But of course, he also had a competent running game there with James Conner, and he wasn't there.
Exactly. But I am going to say this, though.
I'm telling you, Ed, you're picking for both of us because I trust you with the AFC North right now.
Yeah. You may not want to pick what I'm going to pick, but since the start of the 2021 season, by the way, the Ravens and the Browns, because of course, same division, they play each other twice. They have alternated who wins every other time, since 2021, all of 2021, 2022. And so far the trend has, is continued.
So you're
into
telling
2023.
Me that the Browns are going to win against the Ravens at Baltimore? Are you picking Browns +6?
I'm picking the Browns.
Okay.
I'm picking the Browns +6. I'm not going to, part of me says they're just going to win outright.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to understand, dude, like AFC North, throw the records out the window. And as much as I wish I could say that the Browns are the redheaded stepchild of the division. They're a tough team.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett is playing out of his mind right now. Yeah. I mean, that one player he could be defensive player of the year.
What's Lamar Jackson going to do this week? I know you got a share of him.
Yeah, well, Lamar Jackson, he's going to have his runs. Lamar Jackson's going to be
fine.
He's
played
You're
a little low
him.
The past couple weeks because I've got him in another league.
I think he's been okay. I mean,
I think he had 11 points for me this past week, and then the week before, maybe 13 or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't
great. It wasn't great. But what are you going to do? You got to start him.
Yeah.
You can't bench him.
Can we not have Gus Edwards running touchdowns?
You may not have it for very much longer when Keaton Mitchell comes to the scene.
Mitchell's a hot name.
And he is someone to add, of course.
But I don't want any of those running backs to get carries.
I don't either.
However, want Lamar Jackson going to be Lamar Jackson.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about the Ravens specifically. When they had J.K. Dobbins, no one else mattered. Yeah. I mean, Gus Edwards, change of pace, he was in there.
He was there for blocking.
He was.
Yeah.
But when you had JK, forget about it, okay? They don't have that running back right now. Gus Edwards is, yes, he had a good game. I'll give you that.
Two.
He had a couple three, good games, something like that. Okay?
Yeah.
But they don't have that JK Dobbins anymore. Yeah. And J.K. Dobbins, when he came onto the scene, he was, you know, very young, ready to go and eager. Keaton Mitchell, he ran like a 4.3 40. The guy's
close to you.
Yeah. Oh, baby. Not, I mean, you know, he has a little bit of ways to go, but
quick hands, baby.
Yeah. They don't call me Fast Eddie for no reason, baby. Come on now. But just someone to keep an eye on. You have to add him. I mean, of course, waivers have already run, but I'm going after him. I mean, and I don't know, like, I don't think I'm going to spend a number one waiver priority on him in my one league because of my running back situation. I don't need him.
And again, we're not playing keep away.
You're not.
We gotta improve our team.
That's what it's about. It's about scoring the most fantasy points on a weekly basis, more than your opponent.
I let my team this week off a little light. I said, hey, you know, Jamar Chase, I don't want you to score too much. The other guy, Tyreek Hill, you know, just relax a little bit.
Take a night off.
You guys just to relay. So
yeah,
Zay Flowers, relax.
I'm taking the Browns. I'm taking the Browns and the points.
Browns plus six. Gotcha.
If you want to get spicy, take the Browns money line. I mean, seriously, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I really don't. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Yes, it's in Baltimore, but the Browns are a tough team, dude. You might be surprised.
Yeah.
I hope it's a blowout because I have Lamar and Andrews on my team. But anyway, I don't think it will be.
So Niners at Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars getting 3 points. Niners are favored here on the road by 3. Mm-hmm. I think the Niners are completely pissed. They lost 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
I think they're getting Debo back.
Yep. I hope.
I'm going Niners by 3 here. I think they win handily. I think also their new defensive starter, Chase freaking A. What is his name?
Chase Young.
Chase Young, yeah. I think Chase Young's addition is going to set this in motion. I don't think that the Niners needed that guy specifically, but why not?
Pair him with Nick Bosa.
Chase Young.
I mean, seriously, this defense just got that much better. Are you serious?
I'm taking Niners with a touchdown here.
Yeah. You know, here's what's interesting is the Jags, their record is better than the Niners right now.
Oh, yeah.
The Jags are playing really good. ETN is playing out of
his
mind.
They're
both coming off a bye, okay? So they're both fresh. They both have extra time to consider things. Debo, the healthier you can get Debo, the better. I've been saying this. Debo adds an element that you have to plan for. And when you have to plan for a Debo, regardless of how effective he's been, you have to plan for the guy. And it just opens up additional things. I'm taking the Niners in this, plus minus the points.
I mean, you're playing all your normal people here.
Yeah, Ridley or come on. Throw me a bone here, buddy. Come on. Ridley Ridley or Captain Kirk, that's more difficult for me.
Yeah.
I would probably lean Ridley, but I could see
Kirk. I'd go Ridley. Keep on the outside. I think Christian Kirk over there in the middle. Their linebackers are better, and I think their cornerbacks can be beat. So
next up,
Packers at Steelers. Steelers minus 3. I am taking Packers plus 3 here.
Oh, you did not.
I did, Ed. Oh, and the reason being is because, yes, Love has sucked, but they finally are getting a healthy Aaron Jones. No, that is the missing piece for the Packers.
They're really good. I know Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, that 1-2 punch. I get it. Here's the thing, Mike. Here's what you don't know, Mikey. The Steelers are bringing back their old school throwback block letters this week, baby. It is on. We don't do that unless we win. So first of all, you can check that off the box. Secondly, it's in Heinz Field. Here's what's interesting, though. The Steelers once again made NFL history. Once again, I know, and it happens usually every year in a good way, but they have been outgained in every single game they have played this year. Okay, they're the 34th team in NFL history to be outgained by opponents in each of the first 8 games. Okay, they're the first of those teams to have a winning record through 8 games. And one of the prior 33 teams actually finished with a winning record. Kenny Pickett is better in the fourth quarter. It's a fact. Okay. And the reason I'm saying this, okay, is.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were dreaming. Keep going.
Dreaming about what? It's the
you're just touting the Steelers. I'm just joking with you. I'm just giving you some rough time here.
This game, yeah, I know, and most people don't care about this game. I know, Mike, you don't care much about this game. I do because my son's a Packers fan and I'm a Steelers fan, and it's kind of a house divided.
It is.
So I'm going to go to the Steelers with the points. Come on. Over under of 38. I'm taking the Steelers. I mean, yeah. It's going to be a lower scoring game. Cole Holcomb is out for probably a very long time. He's our linebacker. That's going to create a little bit of a hole that we need to adjust for, which I could see an A.J. Dillon or an Aaron Jones taking advantage of. Minka Fitzpatrick.
He still out?
He's still out. Yeah. He's in all
that's
pro
gonna
safety.
That's going to hurt you guys, too.
It has hurt us, but we've continued
what's
winning.
Going on
so.
What's going on with Pickett? No, Pickens. Sorry.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be a Steeler? Antonio Brown?
Everything's okay.
Is he crying over there?
Here's the thing. He wants the football. Okay, he wants to catch the ball. He's competitive.
Well, he needs to get open.
Well, it's
and
a
you
multitude
need to have a quarterback that feels comfortable throwing in like double coverage.
It's a multitude of things. But Mike Tomlin isn't mad about it.
Yeah,
you know. Trust me. I know if Mike Tomlin is not afraid to tell you if someone's pissing him off. Yeah. And Pickens is just that dude. I mean. He is that guy that deserves the ball. He is extremely talented. When you don't any talent, any all-star talent in the NFL that's wide receiver and they don't get the ball, they're gonna react the same way. I mean, Davante Adams did, Stephon Diggs did. They all
Pittman
do.
Got mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all do. Yeah. So I think it's natural. Nothing to be worried about though. So
all right. Steelers for you, -3. Packers are going to win money line. Is my bet, but I'll take the 3 points. Saints at Vikings +2.5. I'm taking the Vikings here. I think this is a prime upset alert here. Josh Dobbs has got pretty good command here, but X factor in the Saints is Kamara. If Kamara can get going, they have a chance. If Kamara cannot get going, they can't put it all on Taysom Hill and say, hey, Gadget Man, do your thing.
Yeah. You know what? I really wanted to take the Vikings. I was hoping you weren't going to take the Vikings because...
Don't you want to be right? Just come along with me.
Well, I need a victory here, Mike.
Yeah, go to the Vikes.
Well, I need to... I guess what my point is I need to...
Differentiate from me.
Correct.
All right. If you want
to
lose more...
I need to close the gap here is what I'm trying to say.
This is going to open the gap, Ed. Yeah. All right. I'll put you down for the Saints. -2.5. That's fine on the road. Titans.
You know what? No, I can't. Give me the Vikings.
All right. Vikings +2.5.
I just love Josh
Dobbs,
man. I can't root against the guy.
You highly tout him every chance you get, man. Titans at the Buccaneers. Bucks -1.
Yeah.
At home. The Bucks are actually coming out firing, but their defense isn't stopping anybody. I don't know if the Titans can come out with their rookie quarterback, Will Levis, and really make a difference here. They're going to have to get that running game going. Henry needs to get over 100 yards. If Henry gets over 100 yards, they win. If Henry does not get over 100 yards, they lose. I think the Bucs stop them. I take Bucs -1.
There we go. I'm taking the Titans. I am all in on Will Levis. He was officially named the starter over Ryan Tannehill. So Ryan Tannehill is now the backup. Hopkins just got a huge bump.
I'm pretty sure I called that.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I mean, I think we're 1 week shy of their bye. And I said, by the time they're coming back from the bye, they're going to be there.
Yep.
So
you did call that.
You're starting all your normal people.
Yeah, starting all your normal people. I would start Hopkins depending on what your options you have available. Hopkins has been targeted 17 times in the past two games with 188 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now, most of that was with from week 8 against the Falcons. Last week, he got 0 touchdowns against the Steelers, and it was because Joey Porter requested to shadow him every single play, and that's pretty much what happened.
Because Hopkins has lost a step, is what he said. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Well, Joey Porter is also very good, so I'm going to take the Titans.
All right. I'm taking Bucks -1. So then we're going Lions at Chargers. Chargers getting 2.5 points. Lions favored by 2.5 at the Chargers. Ed, Lions coming off their bye. Chargers kind of him-hawing around, figuring out some things. They just lost. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm taking the Lions.
Yeah.
I think the Lions are, I mean, they're just too good for the Chargers. The Chargers looked terrible last night, Monday night. The points did not truly reflect the offense. I really don't think it did.
And David Montgomery's coming back. They're going to control the ball a little bit, just like I was touting earlier. You need to control the ball. The Lions defense, as long as they get rest, they're solid. Both of us taking Lions by 2.5 here. Starting Amon-Ra, what's your takeaway with DJP over here? Donovan's People Jones or DPJ.
Yeah. D-Pizzle.
D-Pizzle.
I don't have a take. He's a wide receiver too. Yeah. I mean, you know, it depends on what you need out of that position. I'd like to see it before I invest too much in it, but he could be a pretty stable wide receiver too for him.
Okay.
I think.
Is he going to take over the two or the three?
I don't know.
We'll see how that plays out. But I mean, you don't trade for someone if you don't believe in them. Yeah. So Falcons at Cardinals. Cardinals getting a point here. Falcons -1. I feel like this is more of a Kyler Murray's coming back to town. Let's give the Cardinals a little extra boost. I'm taking the Falcons here by a point. I think their defense is a lot better than the Cardinals' defense, and I can foresee this being a rushing attack between Tyler Algier and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals, I think, take this game. It's pretty much
spicy
toss up. I mean, at -1, it's a pick'em game. Dobbs isn't known for running, but he ran on the Falcons. And I think Kyler's going to probably have to do that his first game back. At least a little bit.
Will he?
I don't know.
Is he able to?
I think he's going to have to.
I mean,
because Kyler's never really been Kyler without that.
He's going to trust his legs and trust
how else is he going to play? I mean, that's how he plays. He's not a pocket passer.
I remember when I had him on my team 2 years ago. He got injured, kind of a limping around. He wasn't the same, didn't run very much. And
He played through that. Yeah. And I think he should be past his injuries by now. He should be. I mean, in theory, right?
It's ACL, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been out for quite a while, too.
Yeah.
So I think with Kyler Murray, man, if he doesn't scramble, he's not himself. He's not a pocket passer. If he tries to stay in the pocket, the Cardinals won't win more than a couple games, I think. I mean, and they'll end up trading him.
And I mean, really, in all fairness, I don't think
going to want a Kyler Murray that doesn't run. Yeah.
This Cardinals offense is not going to click until they get James Conner back healthy as well.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to take the Cardinals.
Cardinals +1. I'm taking Falcons -1. Giants at the Cowboys with a largest spread of the season of -16 for the Cowboys at home.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys.
This is an NFL game.
Yeah.
You should not be projected to win by 16. That's nearly three scores.
Now, if you need a tight end, Daniel Bellinger went 3 for 3 for 42 yards.
Yeah.
You know, he's an option. It's the Giants because Tyrod Taylor's hurt now and Daniel Jones is hurt now.
Yep, Dan Jones out for the year.
So you have Saquon Barkley, you have Bellinger, you have
a handful of scrubs.
Yeah,
wide receiver.
That's about it. Yeah. So I'm gonna take the Cowboys. I don't see the Giants keeping it close at all.
I will take the Cowboys as well, and I don't like it. Because I don't like a 16 spread.
Nah, they'll cover
for an NFL game,
which is outrageous.
It's ridiculous. I don't know if I've seen anything bigger.
I don't think I have either. Commanders at Seahawks.
Seahawks favored by 6.
So The Seahawks are a pretty decent team this year, actually.
Not last week. Last week they didn't show up.
I know, but they're 5-3, and they're tied with the 49ers in its totality, right? When you talk about now, Jackson Smith Najigba has been consistently producing this year. He is someone that you're going to have to probably keep your eye on as well, because you could see him kind of taken off towards the tail end of the year. His schedule remaining really isn't all that bad, especially in the playoffs. So in the last 3 weeks, 9, 11, and 14 points in the last 3 weeks. Week 14, San Francisco, sixth best matchup against opposing wide receivers. Week 15, Philadelphia, the best matchup against opposing wide receivers. Week 16, Tennessee, eighth best matchup against wide receivers. Week 17, Pittsburgh, fifth best matchup against the wide receivers. I mean, the last 4 weeks are all just straight money for wide receivers. I think JSN is someone to keep an eye on and probably target low before that trade deadline. He could be that Amon-Ra when Amon-Ra broke out in that last quarter of the season and won people championships. That could be JSN. Mark my words.
Marking it.
I'm gonna take the Seahawks minus six.
Good, I get another leg up on you because I'm taking Commanders plus six.
Okay,
Seahawks for Ed here, minus six. So then we've got Jets at the Raiders. Raiders getting 1.5 at home. Jets favored by that 1.5. I'm taking Jets minus 1.5 here against the Raiders with no coach. And then we've got, I think the Jets defense matches up well against the Raiders, to be honest. I don't think Jacobs gets more than 60 yards rushing. And let's be honest, Aiden O'Connell is not going to do a whole lot against that Jets passing either. So I just don't see the offense doing anything for the Raiders against that defense of the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Raiders in this. And the only reason I'm taking the Raiders is because the Jets didn't give me any confidence with Zach Wilson this last game.
Yeah, they should have at least done something against the Chargers.
The reason I'm taking the Raiders is because Zach Wilson gave me nothing against the Chargers. I didn't see what I needed to see, especially from a very forgiving defense. I understand it's prime time. But Breece Hall should not rush for the amount of, I mean, Breece, you should be more efficient with that. And the only reason they're not is because they're not completing passes. When you don't complete passes, you have no choice.
They
right?
did late in the game, but that's not early enough.
Right. And so I just think the Raiders have something to prove without this, without their head coach right now. Have you seen their interim head coach in a press interview? The guy said he's from Compton.
Yeah.
He's from the hood, baby. He gets down. He's one of them. He's been a Raiders fan his whole life. I mean, that is what teams need to rally them together, man. I mean, the guy is as gritty as it gets.
Antonio Pierce.
So I just think the Raiders pull it together. I mean, I think have a little more of a rallying cause. The Jets are just crossing their fingers for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Raiders have a little more grit this week, man. I don't know why, but it's prime time. It's in Las Vegas. I'm going to tell you right now, the Las Vegas crowd is nothing to mess around with.
Yeah.
They literally paint their bodies, I mean, and wear spikes on their faces. It's just going to be a very tough environment for Zach Wilson to go into on Sunday night. And I don't think he has enough.
I just don't think that the Raiders' defense can match up against the Jets' running game. And once the running game gets going, then you get to unlock a little bit more Garrett Wilson.
Tyler Conklin
did well against the Chargers at the end of the game. So, all right.
Monday night, Broncos at Bills. Bills minus 7.5, over under of 47. I believe this is the second highest over under of the week with the Texans and Bengals at 48 with the highest over-under, second highest over-under, and then the Lions and Chargers at 48.5 with the highest over-under. So it's up there, and you're going to see Russell Wilson in his prime time light. I don't think it's a good look for him. I think the Bills beat the Broncos by more than 7.5. However, the Broncos are fresh off of a bye, and I think you can still start Courtland Sutton. Like, I don't think that's you're going to have any issues with him, but the backfield is a different story. And frankly, that's probably the only person I would start from this offense on the Broncos side. On the Bills side, I would start, you know, everyone. I would start Josh Allen. I would start Kincaid. I would start Diggs. And then outside of that, maybe Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis put up a goose egg last week.
Yeah.
Normally when that happens, he usually scores a touchdown the next game. Okay. So anyway, I'm going Broncos plus 7.5.
Oh my word.
Solely because it's more than a touchdown and the Broncos defense is coming together. Yes. The Broncos have just beat the Chiefs, I believe, right? And they kept it close with the Chiefs in like week one or two or something like that. The Bills are made up similarly. Lord, I hate that word every time I try to say it. But I think that the Broncos will try to control this game on the ground with Javonte Williams along with Courtland Sutton and Russell Wilson and just dinking and dunking.
The dinking and the
dunking. You know it. And I just think that the Broncos have a chance here to keep this one close. Mm. I don't think the Bills run away with it. Mm. The Bills have not ran away with a game that they needed to for a while now.
Yeah, we'll see. I think this is the game they pull it together, especially against the Broncos.
Hey, Ed, what's your upset pick of the week here?
Well, Mike, my upset pick of the week, it depends on what your definition of an upset is.
If they are not favored, it's an upset.
I'm going to take the Texans over the Bengals.
Texans over the Bengals, huh?
Or, I mean, I was thinking about the Browns over the Ravens, but... Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going with.
Yeah. And
that's 6 points, man.
Yeah.
But you're taking the 6.5 point underdog Texans.
Yeah.
I'm not going that bold, but what I will do, I've got two that I really like. I like the Panthers over the Bears. Even though I chose Bears by 4, I think there's a really good chance that the Panthers come out and can actually win that game. The other one, I think the Vikings are going to beat the Saints.
Okay. I love it. All right. Well, hey, good luck to everyone this week in fantasy.
Have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Dad's Talk Fantasy Podcast.